Hello, Peas. It's Kate here, all on my own. And I want to tell you about my new podcast. My new podcast is called Honestly, I'm Lonely. Hopefully it's out on all platforms. It's definitely out on Spotify. It's 2 episodes a week. On Tuesdays, I chat to an awesome human about being lonely. And on Thursday, I chat with my partner, who's a psychologist, about the effects of loneliness or how loneliness makes us feel. She chats from a clinical perspective and I just chat from a chatting perspective. So she's laughing because she's sitting here beside me. I think that you're really going to enjoy it. I'd just love you to give it a listen and hopefully we can continue our journey as podcasters together.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems, too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and, of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is being recorded on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past and present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents who are authors.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We're back.
We are back.
Back in the daytime. In the daytime because it's grand final Friday in Melbourne.
Yeah. Thanks which, a lot, AFL.
It's an insane holiday. Nobody thinks we should have it, but oh well.
And we were watching the TV and Darren was like, there's no one in the city because no one's at work.
I know.
And he's like, it looks ridiculous.
And so it used to be everyone would come in their lunch break and go to the parade.
Watch a parade.
And now everyone goes away.
Have a public holiday for the parade. No one goes.
I know. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry, Victorian government.
Yeah. but it's good for us because we're here during the day.
That's right.
And it means that our guest could come.
Yes. Three microphones.
Three microphones this week, friends.
Here we are.
Yes, so this week we have Melanie.
Yes.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having me. Welcome to the pod bar.
Yes.
And we met you the other night because we went to your book launch, which
was
very, very exciting.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
I think you made my Auntie Beth.
Yeah. Oh, she was so beautiful.
She was so lovely.
She just came straight for us. She was like, oh, that's Mandy and Kate.
Yeah, she got me onto you guys. Oh. She's like your number one fan.
Yeah, she is.
She was divine.
Yeah, so. She was.
I thought if you've got an auntie on your team like that, that's pretty great.
I have many aunties and uncles and cousins. My mum was one of 10 Irish Catholic.
That makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just thought she was lovely and it was so funny to be recognised.
Yeah, she was so cute. So cute.
You said Kate was like, what?
How do you know who I am?
You guys are famous now. Proper famous. I'm sure that's happening all the time.
No. I'm still bloody, you know, doing the dishes.
There's no proper famous change. In the burbs.
Yeah.
You're not a diva yet.
No. So you contacted us, is that right?
Yes.
Yes, you contacted
Slipped
Kate.
Into your DMs.
Yes, you did.
That's right. And then sent your book and we started reading.
Yep. And the name of your book is?
Special Antidotes to the Obsessions That Come with a Child's Disability.
Yeah. Oh, what a great title.
It's a great title. It's a great book. We will give one away at the end of this episode.
Yep,
so
we will.
We'll
do that comp on our Facebook or Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Yep. So okay. We'll get it signed.
We will get it signed.
I'll scribble in it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I was just reading it. I opened up the first paragraph. I was like, oh, my gosh, like I love this already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
And while we're all saying this at the same time?
Yeah. That's what amazed me.
What did you think?
I was freaking out when I heard your podcast for the first time. I was like, they're going to think I plagiarized.
No.
I swear I submitted the manuscript in December. I was like, my God, we're really like, we've got the same messages going here about this. And there aren't enough parents talking about what this experience is actually like. And, man, I wish I'd found you sooner. I might not have felt I needed to write the book if you guys
had
been
doing
sooner.
It either. No. We only started in May. So it's weird that it all came out at the same time.
Yeah, it's like the universe is like, okay, we want these voices to be heard.
Kicking off a trend, I hope.
I hope so too. And as someone said to me, there's always room for many voices.
Yeah,
so
that's
I think
right.
That's really lovely.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's an awesome book and we'll talk about it more during the podcast and then you can all go and buy it.
Yeah.
So
you shall
know.
Please.
That's one
but
of
I
your
suppose,
jobs.
What wait, because you've been on a book launching
a tour of
tour,
two cities.
You?
Yeah.
Two cities.
Yeah. So, well, I live in Sydney now, so we did one there, and then Perth, my hometown, and Melbourne, my spiritual hometown.
Three cities.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
No, it's been full on. Like, I've had to take September off work because we've been lucky. We've had all this media interest.
We saw it on the project. We were like, oh, she's our person.
Yeah. Fuck, that was so scary.
I bet. Tell
well,
us
you
about
looked
that.
Amazing.
You did.
I think it was a bit too much makeup. It was definitely project level makeup.
Wow. Did they do it for you?
No. I went to like my lovely makeup artist who did my makeup for my author headshot, which I was really happy with.
Yeah.
But I think because I said TV, she just like ramped it up and it was full glam, which I think it was fine. But because it so isn't me, like I normally don't, like you can see me now, I don't look like that.
That's right.
And I think everyone that knew me was like, what did they do to you? And it was, but it was.
I did say to Mandy, she's very beautiful.
I know. Like,
oh, no,
so you are. You're gorgeous.
Oh, watch this thing I've recorded on the project. She's very beautiful.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Well, that's lovely. But it was like nothing like it looked. They put it together beautifully, but what you couldn't see was that I was in a green cupboard in Sydney staring at a wall.
Oh, really?
I just had them in my ear.
I thought you were on the panel.
No, I was in the Sydney studio and they like put, you know, the bridge behind me and everything.
Yes.
It was green. Even the camera guy was like, I'm so sorry, like shove me in a green cupboard. And the camera was just like a black square. I was staring at nothing with them in my ear. And I was like, I need a sick bag. Like, I'm so nervous.
Oh, you poor thing.
But they put it together pretty well.
Oh,
I think,
okay.
Considering.
Seamless.
Yeah. And I feel like there's an ally there because Waleed,
child. You could tell he was yearning.
Yeah,
he gets it.
He gets it.
And even Carrie, you know, she's had stuff.
Oh, she's had stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, she's had. Someone sent us an email and said something about, I find myself drawn to all the tortured souls. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh, actually,
yeah. me too.
That's exactly what
Which
happens.
Which sounds horrible, but there's beauty in that.
Yes. So much beauty.
Yeah. And it's been awesome. I found having put our story out there, I've had people come to me, like friends that haven't spoken to me for a long time, and I've thought, has something been up?
Yeah.
And they've come out and they've been able to share with me, you know, I've been going through fertility issues.
Yes.
Or I think once you put your story out there, people feel that they
can
bring
theirs. I really agree. And it just cuts through all the crap.
Yeah, it really does.
Get to all the realness in people, which is
way
what
better.
Life's about.
It's the good stuff.
It's the
gooey center.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
That's right.
So we will ask you this question: why are you a P or a member of the P tribe? For our listeners who may not know.
Well, I didn't want to be.
No.
You know, a long time ago, and it's hard to say that now because I feel so differently, but. If you had told me I was going to have a child with profound disability, maybe with any disability, I never would have had children.
Yep.
My partner, Ro, and I were really like, oh, let's just, you know, we've had our fun. Let's just see what happens if we have a baby. Mm. We do. If not, we'll be fine.
Yep.
Of course, got pregnant straight away.
Yes.
Like we just got engaged and 2 weeks later we were pregnant with Arlo. And it was an okay pregnancy. It wasn't great. Like I was bleeding a bit at the start, so we thought I was miscarrying. And then they found a hole in his heart at like 20 weeks. We thought that was going to be our problem. after everything that actually closed up. That's like the one thing that isn't a problem for this poor kid.
Yes.
But it wasn't a fun pregnancy. We were pretty worried about that. But I mean, aside from that, it was pretty ordinary.
What did they say about the heart? Did they say it'll fix itself or you'll...
They said, yeah, they said that might happen, or they said you might have to have surgery. We had a kick-ass cardiologist who made it all okay. You know how that just makes all the difference.
Yes,
it really specialists that you see, if they're good or bad.
Yeah.
So once we started seeing him, he was great about it. But, yeah, we thought Arlo might have to have surgery the second he was born. So we were prepared for that somewhat, but pretty upset about it.
Oh, of course.
And now I think back, like, man, I wish that had been our problem.
Yes.
Like,
go straight to the heart surgery.
Yeah.
And
get that fixed. Been, exactly. Yeah.
I've had moments of thinking that, well, hearts can get fixed, brains can't.
But anyway, other than that, pretty normal pregnancy. I was 4 days past his due day. He was supposed to come on the 29th of February, so he would have been leap year Larry.
Wow.
So I wasn't too unhappy that he missed that day. But then into March, I was like, fuck, man, so over it. Like, when is this baby coming?
Yes.
And, yeah, it was 4 days past and his movements were a bit different.
Right.
And you know how they tell you while you're pregnant, you know, if they feel a bit weird, just come in, go into the hospital.
Yeah.
So we went in. It was an afternoon, they had a look at Arlo. They're like, oh, he looks fine. There was something, there was some weird vibe in that room, but no one really said anything. Yeah. And they were like, oh, look, you're past your due date. Why don't you just stay overnight? We'll keep an eye on you and him. And if there's a bed available in the morning, we'll induce you.
Okay.
So I stayed over. Ro went home. They came in a couple of times in the night, checked on his heart, and everything seemed fine. Mm. The next morning there was a bed available in the birthing suite. So they took – Ro was back. They took us down to the birthing suite, and we were just waiting around to be induced. I don't know. The nurse was off getting her knitting needle or whatever to And we were bored, so we were just watching the heart. You know, Arlo was connected up to the fetal heart monitor.
Yep.
And you know how it just naturally fluctuates a little bit.
Yes.
We were making a game of it, like, oh, high score, ha ha. And then suddenly it just dropped out of nowhere. Like, we just happened to be watching it. And we were like, oh. And we pressed the button.
Yes.
No one came in. So Ro went out and got the nurse who came in. And then she got a stethoscope out and was sort of searching around my belly, couldn't find anything at this point. Oh. So the emergency button was pressed. It feels like a million doctors came in. It was maybe six people came in.
Yeah.
And very quickly the decision was made, emergency cesarean.
Imagine you hadn't been watching.
Well, he should have been a stillborn. Like, that's what would have happened.
Okay.
If they hadn't had a bed available in the morning, like, it was all very, so very many. Lucky.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And even
you might
more
not have
so.
Been there.
Yeah, I know. Which, you know, it's kind of nice to remember that in the hard times.
Like, that's right.
We might not have had him. This was a rescue mission.
It was.
Really.
Yeah.
But yeah, then, you know, my bed was being whisked out of the room. The poor midwife or nurse who was pushing my bed bashed it into the door frame a few times, and I still think back like, man, they were precious
wasted seconds.
But anyway, everyone was a bit in a fluster. Very professional. All the doctors were kind of introducing themselves to me as I was being whisked down the hall, and I just remember watching Rowan's face kind of disappear into the distance and just thinking, oh man, like, I get to go under, like, that poor guy is going to have to live through whatever this is. But I remember looking at him and thinking, no matter what happens, like, so long as we have each other. This will be okay. So, yeah, they were whisking me down to theatre, shaving my pubes off. It felt like on the way. Oh. Maybe it was once I got into the room, but, like, everything was happening very quickly. But they were great. They were like, we've got you. We're looking after you and your baby. And I was just like, put me under. Yes. Get me the stuff. I don't want to have to live through this.
No.
Yeah.
So I went under and really got to miss this whole thing, thank God, whereas poor Ro was put into a little room by himself and then told, okay, you're going to come in for the emergency cesarean. You'll get to come in. So he got scrubbed up, got his, you know, his little cap on and everything, and they took him to the door and he saw, like, the horror scene that was my stomach open up. And then they said, oh, no, you can't actually come in here. So they put him in a room again. And then he did, you know, they got Arlo out in about 10 minutes and Ro did get to be with him then. Apparently Ala was quite distressed at this point. He needed oxygen. So Ro got to see kind of all of the the trauma, whereas I just slept on through it.
Yeah.
The first thing I sort of knew was, you know, I came to and there was a surgeon in my face and I just said, is he alive?
Yes.
And the surgeon was like, yes. And then the second thing I asked the surgeon was, does he have Down syndrome? Oh. Which is really weird. And
was, the surgeon were you was like, thinking about that no, in your I pregnancy? Think,
because of the heart?
Think, yes, exactly. Yes. And because I was so scared of having a child with a disability, it was always a fear, even though I knew it wasn't very likely.
Yeah.
I think that must have been like deep in my brain.
Well, you say crazy stuff out of an anaesthetic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, every time I say something weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And the surgeon was like, no. And I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, God, the surgeon must have known, like, there's no way your kid's getting out of this scot-free. But I was like, we're good. We've done it.
Yeah.
Baby's alive. Doesn't have Down syndrome. We're sweet.
Great.
And they rolled me into what I discovered was the NICU in my bed.
Mm.
They put Ala on my shoulder and he had, you know, wires and cords and things coming out of him. But he was so beautiful. He was so there and his little navy blue eyes just looked straight into mine. And I remember all the nurses being like, oh, that's weird. Like, it's a pretty alert baby, especially considering everything that happened.
Yeah.
But we just had this moment and he always, from day dot, like, that kid is intense. Like, he stares you in the eye. He's got universes in his eyes. Like, he's an amazing kid. And we had this moment and I know, like, it really wasn't a great birth story, but I really thought everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, he was alive and that is okay.
And I'm like, we compared made to him it. Dying. And I think I'm really lucky in that I'm used to hospitals. My dad's a doctor. My brother and I grew up like playing in hospitals all the time. Yeah. Yeah. I always feel safe in hospitals.
Right.
Yes. With poor Ro, like, I don't think we'll ever recover from that experience.
No. No.
Probably
but
not.
I was okay. I was like, we're good here.
We're with the right people.
And you feel safe. Like you're like, oh, my child's in NICU. They're looking after my child.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like that after the boys were born. And obviously I had issues. I didn't think they were going to be born. So I was like, oh, this isn't my problem now.
Yeah.
Like, somebody much smarter than me is keeping them alive.
Look after them.
So I found, I don't know. I know a lot of people find it very traumatic and I definitely had a sense of longing for what wasn't, but I was really happy they were safe.
I was glad they wheeled you down there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Because we didn't have that.
No.
So that's a great progress in 10 years for us. So that's wonderful to hear that.
That's it, and it really wasn't bad. You know, we were only in NICU. Ala was in NICU for 1 week.
Right.
Yep.
I was on a different ward recovering from the cesarean. So Ro was running up and down between the two, like filming and with photos. So I know you've had stories where you're like, we didn't have photos and we didn't have video. Whereas I, you know, Ro was able to get that.
Yep.
So that helped with expressing because I had a little photo, video of
brilliant
Ala. And I got to rest and the nurses just looked after him and there was stuff going on that now I look back and I'm like, oh, it's pretty serious. Like, they cooled him down for 72 hours, which was quite a new thing. I think they'd only just started doing that. So we couldn't hold him for the first 3 days and that was hard.
How do they do that cooling down? What is that
like? In
like
a little crib. It wasn't even closed. It was just like a temperature control crib thing. But, yeah, we weren't allowed to touch him and his little body was shivering.
Was he crying?
It was cold. No. Like, after the birth, apparently he was crying a lot when he was born and really distressed. But then he was really chilled.
Okay.
And quite literally chilled.
Oh, poor Baba.
Yeah, but it was hard not to, like, wrap him up.
Yeah,
like,
that's all your instinct.
Every instinct.
Body.
He was shivering. That would have been
terrible. Yeah, because he was cold.
Yeah.
But then, you know, after the 3 days we did, we got the first hold of him and that just felt so good. And then we tried breastfeeding. I mean, prior to that I'd had, you know, the...
syringes.
They were doing it. I'm too tired. Yeah. Just milk me.
Fair enough.
And the nurses were doing it for me. And I was like,
so
I got Rowan to do it for me at one point. It's like, we've reached a new level of intimacy.
Yes.
Exactly. So that was happening a bit. But then he got breastfeeding pretty quick, certainly in hindsight. I'm amazed.
Like, that is amazing. Yeah,
it is.
He was breastfeeding. We had this incredible, you know how there's a nurse who like specializes in the breastfeeding,
lactation consultant.
Bossy. Yes, they have a name. That's right. Yeah. So she was like bossy and great Hungarian or something, and she got him on there, and it, you know, it seemed to be working. And you know, the experts would, expert specialists would come around each day and look at him and be like, yeah, you know, he looks all right. You've just got to focus on the baby in front of you and see what they're doing. They did do an MRI, though, in that first week, and it showed bilateral damage to the motor section of his brain. Not that I knew what that meant, really. So they said, yeah, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what happens.
Wait and see. So what did you think when they said that?
I was like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be – I just was like – no matter what you say, this is going to be fine.
Yeah,
and when – right before they let us go.
Well, it is because your precious baby's right there, so it doesn't really matter.
And you looked like other babies.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't – because we were around tons of premies and I feel for you guys because I could see, you know, the other couples and there was so much grief and worry.
Everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, but we were like, oh, this isn't so bad. Yeah. We're used to hospitals. You know, we had our visitors coming in. We still got to celebrate.
Great.
So, we had quite a nice NICU and it was only 1 week. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It was
And
fine.
You weren't traumatised, though, by that birth?
No.
Okay.
Weirdly. I know that's odd, but maybe because I had – I'm not all that maternal. I didn't have all these ideas around childbirth. Yeah. I just wanted the baby out and alive.
Absolutely.
I'm sad I didn't get the Kodak moment where they come out and you put them on your chest, but I wasn't fussed about having a cesarean.
Were you – because I know people that were sad about being put under and missed – did you feel that?
Not really. Yeah, I don't know if there's something wrong with it.
No. I'm not asking that in something wrong.
No, but it is strange because it sounds terrible. But
no,
I mean,
because, no, I doesn't. Mean, my reaction's different to other people. My friend Lisa, she's like, I didn't follow the bus, the ambulance. You did. Like,
You do whatever feels right in the moment, I think. And I was just so happy that, he was out. He seemed okay. You know, this was our first experience with a baby.
I don't know what's going on.
We didn't know. And now that we've had Odette, I think I would have known really early on. And I think my mum knew. Everyone was just kind of being positive and this will be okay. Because, you know, up until that point in my life, stuff had happened to me. Like, I haven't had a perfect life, but everything had been okay.
Yeah.
So any other outcome was just completely unacceptable.
And she says that to you.
She does say that
in the book.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay.
Because that's what we cling to.
Yeah.
The Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay. Like, things are burning around you, but you just say.
Like, we
cling to that. And I think my mum still struggles with that. I still struggle with that. It's hard when that's been your thing that you've been able to say.
Yeah.
And then everything's not okay.
It's kind of like us in the church.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and then that rocked out.
My husband's mum always said, and she's passed away now, but she always said, this too shall pass.
Yes.
And I was like, no, it doesn't fucking pass.
This ain't passing. CP's not passing.
It's not passing.
Yeah, but it sucks not being able to have that saying.
Yes. That's
just
really
one of my
does.
Saying to cling to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to find new ones.
Yes.
Just been swearing.
You did, like, you get what you've got.
Yeah, and you don't get upset.
I love that.
That's
great.
I feel like lots of people have never heard that before. And I was like, hadn't you?
No.
Maybe it's just you and me that say it, Mandy.
I don't know. I say it all the time.
Yeah.
How funny. So getting back to the question. So then you've had him.
Yes.
And so that's why you're in the P-trap. That's why.
Yeah, well, we got released from NICU, after a week.
Yeah.
They called us in for a meeting with the neuropediatrician and they said to us then, you know, we just have to wait and see. Worst case scenario, this will be cerebral palsy. And I didn't know what that was and I just let it go whoosh, like right over.
Okay.
I was like, not listening to it. This will be fine. That's completely irrelevant for us. And we left and for the first couple of months he was – pretty much like any other baby, I think. I mean, he had reflux.
Yeah.
He was stiff.
Yeah.
But every time I Googled that, it was like, oh, tone can go away.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many stories.
Tide signs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it had all been fine.
Yeah.
But the hospital made us keep checking in with the growth clinic.
Right.
And they made us go and see like a physio, just a community physio who kept hinting to us, like, you might want to go and check in with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance. Just make yourself known. And we were like, no freaking way. Like, that's not us. That's not our son. Yeah. But then as the months rolled on, you know, he was beautiful, smiley, engaged kid that did not meet any milestones.
Yeah.
And they made it, the growth clinic made us do that test where we had to film him for 5 minutes on a white sheet on the floor when he was 4 months old, that you'd then send them this video and like experts would look at it.
Oh my gosh.
And I just remember like putting him on the white sheet and filming him through my iPhone and just watching him arch to one side and just smile at his cot leg for the whole 5 minutes, and that was all he did.
Yeah.
And just thinking like, oh, this isn't gonna look good.
Yeah.
And then we went in to discuss that, and that's when it started getting a bit grim.
Yeah.
And then we were referred to a pediatrician, and at 6 months, this amazing guy gave us the diagnosis. He said, no, I'm just going to give you this. It's cerebral palsy. But, you know, that's so broad. Some people just have it in one finger. Mm-hmm. And he would have known that Arlo's not the one finger kind of cerebral palsy.
Yes.
Like Arlo's quad. He's non-verbal, non-mobile.
Yeah.
That this guy just gave it to us so gently. It was,
That was beautiful in the book. I thought that was a lesson to everyone in delivery.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we weren't ready to hear severe or anything like that.
No.
So it was beautifully done. And he actually said to us, I've got, you know, a child myself, I think he said, who's not quite right. and like he said, you'll be fine in your bubble. You'll be fine at home.
Well,
you'll just have to do like an hour or so different to what you would have been doing anyway with Arlo. He's like, it's just going to be hard when you're out in the world and you're having to explain your child. And you're he's so right.
That
he just nailed it.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
That was an amazing.
Yeah, because everything is okay in your house.
It is.
Yeah.
In your bubble. Yeah. It's all sweet in the bubble.
Yeah. And did you go to a mother's group?
I did. I went reluctantly. Like, I'm not really into the
forced friendships.
Yeah.
And I'm not. They were fine.
Yeah.
It was interesting, like, you know, because I was like, oh, it's fine, oh, it's fine. But noticing, you know, even in typical scenarios, like some of the mothers couldn't breastfeed, and I could see them watching me breastfeed with their bottles, and I could see like the pain in their eyes. And there was a mother there with a preemie, like beautiful tiny little boy, and the nurse would keep calling him a girl, and she'd get like really upset about that. So it was interesting kind of, you know, seeing these other starts to life. But I only went twice, I think,
wasn't,
and then I just wasn't having a bar of it. And I don't know if it's because deep down I knew that he wasn't, but honestly, I just think I'm just not the
Either one, that's right.
Yeah,
I think our group started off with like, you know, 14 people and then got down to 7. So yeah, it's just it's not for everyone.
No. Yeah. Anyway, so 6 months was really the
6 months, and then still in denial, still clinging to the it'll be mild, it'll be mild. No one will be able to tell. I remember saying to I was working at the magazine still, and saying to my editor, I've decided he's going to be fine. And she was like, that's a very brave decision. Like, everyone was so good about it.
But they just like, let you be.
I just had to be like, it's tell myself this will be fine. Any other outcome is completely unacceptable.
Yep.
But deep down, I knew I couldn't deny it anymore. Like, it was a medical diagnosis. Yeah. And we were so sad.
Yeah.
Just this weight. Like, I was sad all the time. Yeah. I couldn't be happy for anyone else. No. Like, all my friends at the magazine were like getting married getting pregnant. And I just was so, it was so hard not being able to be happy for them. And then I felt guilty about that.
Yeah.
But I was just so sad and crying all the time.
Yeah.
And Ro was the same and freaked out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think things are going a certain way and then a future that you've imagined is just taken away from you, and there's nothing like there's you know, the old Holland, no guidebooks, not Holland, nowhere. And that's scary. And I was just desperate to get a glimpse at the future. I just needed to know that Arlo would be walking and that he'd be okay. That was so important to me at the start.
It's a big, big deal.
Feel differently now, but at the start I was like, oh my, if I could just get a 2 second glimpse at future Arlo, just
I'll be
to
okay.
check in that he's walking and that this doesn't look what I think, you know, it's going to look like, then I'll be okay. But obviously, you know, you can't have that. And thank God you can't have that because I would have seen a wheelchair looking into the future.
That's right.
And now I'm okay with that. But, you know, a couple of years ago I would not have been okay with that.
No.
Yeah.
I've never been so sad in my life. Yeah. It's very hard to explain that if people haven't grieved.
Yeah, because
you got the diagnosis around the same time.
She was about 8 months, but I went to the nurse at 4 months and said, something's up, and she wrote, developing beautifully.
Mm.
And I was like, she's not.
No.
And I've got her twin here who is as well. I can see this.
Yes.
And she was making those funny faces with her mouth, like that kind of classic CP look, and I'd seen it before, and I was like, I know that look.
You knew too much.
I did know too much.
I was so lucky. I knew nothing.
Yeah, and I have friends who didn't know stuff too. So, yeah, I did know too much. I was all over it.
Yeah.
But no one was going to say anything till the time was right.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really change your grief, even if you've got that lingering thought, because you're still – there's that hope that
always
this might be all right.
Yeah.
It's probably not as bad as I think. I'm catastrophizing.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the blow.
Yeah. Like, oh, it is.
And I just thought I would never laugh again.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever going to be funny.
Yeah.
Because she has got brain damage. Nothing's as bad as that, and nothing's ever going to be funny again. And now look at us laughing.
It's
amazing. If I could go back and tell myself that.
Yeah.
You know, you will laugh, and Darren is the same. I can't laugh at anything. Yeah.
No.
Just be both so sad. It's so hard.
And it takes time.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was 6 months. You know, once I started writing the book, I started feeling a bit better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know how long it would have taken me otherwise. It takes a long time to start feeling even just normal again.
Well, it's a different. It's just different. It's not the same. You're not the same person.
No.
You've been through a profound thing in your life and it's changed you. So
yeah.
That person's gone. And I think while my story is not the same as yours, the grief comes back in, it's never as intense, but you'll get little snippets.
Yeah.
When other milestones are met by people around you or something significant happens and you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's us.
But you now know that you can draw on, you know, all of the strengths and all of the supports and everything else around you, and you can just retreat for a little bit and then come back out.
Yeah, you
get good at grief.
Really good.
And you bounce back.
Yeah.
You go through all those stages really quickly. You get very efficient at grief.
I remember looking that up, chronic sorrow and living grief, and I was like, they're my terms.
Mm.
Living grief makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And I was reading and Googling everything about living grief, and I was like, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't died. So how can you be so sad about someone who's here that you're feeding and talking to? And
And you feel, I remember when one of Arlo's physios said, oh, you've never grieved. And I'm like, you haven't seen me in the shower or on the balcony at work. And I was really pissed off that she used that word.
Yeah.
I was like, don't say grief around my alive child.
No.
But it is. The psychologist I spoke to were like, no, you've had a loss. You've lost the hopes and dreams. And I didn't even think I had any hopes and dreams around. But, you know, I thought it would look like it looks on the box. Like I thought it would be somewhat typical. So, it's grief, and it doesn't go away.
No.
And it was upsetting for me when I started interviewing parents like yourselves who are further along, and I wanted you to say to me, oh, it's fine, we're happy all the time.
Yeah.
But it was always like, no, it still happens. It's just less frequent and it's less long.
Sorry, get a drink of water.
Grief, we're talking about grief.
Mm.
Yeah. What about leading up to his first birthday? Because I found that tough. How was that?
The thing I struggled with most was what if in the first year, because I'd be like, this time last year, he was in my belly. He was perfect. I could have done something.
Mm.
So when he turned one, it was actually a relief for me because I could stop thinking, you know, I could have done something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know why that, I don't think technically that's correct. But that's made me, it was a relief when he turned one. And it wasn't sad. I remember little things got me, like someone got us a book like, you're one, you can sit. And like, man, like, I don't know why they make this shit. And I was like, why are you giving this to us? You clearly can't sit.
We need to write new books.
We do need to write new books.
New baby books.
Yes, that aren't so like constructed around bloody milestones.
Fuck you, milestones.
But we had a pretty good time at his first birthday, and it was a nice opportunity to thank everyone.
Yes, I did that too.
God, like, that's what I did
so
too.
So much support.
Yeah. Village.
And it was big. Like, I don't like doing kids' birthday parties, but I was like, no, I'll do this. I'll make a cake. I won't do it again, but just for the first birthday. And we invited everyone. And it was a proper celebration of like, yes, we made it. It's been tough as year, but we all got here together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were still hopeful. He was only one.
Yeah.
You know, we were still hopeful that he'd be walking and, you know, yeah. we could still cling to things like he's a boy, so he's slow. We were still,
yep.
you know,
yep.
it was fading away, but we still had that yeah. a bit to cling
yeah,
on to.
Yeah, I know.
It's, probably,
yeah.
it's a coping mechanism as well.
Yeah.
Like you can't digest it also.
Did he eat? Like, can he eat?
He did. He's still at the puree stage yeah. now. So yep. he does eat,
yep.
but it's spoon-fed. We have to be really careful that he doesn't aspirate.
Yeah,
aspirate. Yep. And we've just become, like, masters of puree because
yep. yeah.
that's all he eats.
Yeah.
So we yes. puree everything.
Yeah.
And he's great. Like, he eats everything. Yep. He's, like, the healthiest kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. He looks gorgeous. His skin looks beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah. yeah. He's, yeah. like, got glowing skin, yeah. bright eyes. Oh. Yeah. Got the yeah. best diet because he just eats whatever we
yeah. Yeah. yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's time. I'm consuming, like with Odie, very. We're now like, man, we just put food on yes. your thing and you just eat it.
Yes.
Whereas Arlo, it's, you know, half an hour to 40 minutes yeah. of spoon yeah. feeding for yeah. every meal. And he has his meds. He has epilepsy as well.
Yeah,
he got
right.
diagnosed just before he turned two.
Okay.
So he's got like a cocktail of three or four meds that we mix into the first few spoonfuls of his puree. Mm. So that goes in first. Mm. And then he has, you know, preventative inhalers to try and stop this cycle yeah. of pneumonia we've been on this
oh,
year.
Yeah.
So, you know, his meal times are also about meds, which yes. kind of sucks.
Yeah, but it's not the ease.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. But it's interesting with Odie, our daughter, who's 20 months now, she's never taken a spoon ever.
Oh.
She's stubborn as. So she will only
she's
feed herself.
Food lady.
She's super independent. And probably because yeah. we just haven't tried. We're like, sweet, you're good.
Yeah,
like maybe
yeah.
if we tried more, but we're like, no, whatever.
No.
We're here feeding Arlo.
Totally.
You can just feed yourself.
Yes,
and
course.
She's great at it. So that's been amazing. But yeah, with, you know, sometimes I've thought, man, it would just be easier to get him on a tube, but his feeding specialist is like, no, he's doing well. Like we're
yeah.
progressing
yeah.
well. We're able to shove stuff in the side of his mouth, you know, munchables, dissolvables,
yeah.
and he
yeah.
can
yeah.
bite. So he is very gradually learning how
yeah.
to chew
yeah.
and swallow
yeah.
and he has a bottle mostly, but we're learning with the little cutout cup now with like thickened liquids.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is slow progress,
yeah.
but it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
you can always put a tube in, a peg in. You know, if you need to.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of people that, you know, that's a constant movement.
Yeah, between.
It?
Yeah,
from
back
between.
And forth. Yeah,
yeah,
or a bit of both. And
yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's for, like tubes are confronting. I
they
remember
are.
At the start we were like, oh, my God, so long as we can avoid that.
Yeah. yeah.
But now I'm like, you know, if it's easier.
Yes.
That's
no, like,
what
okay.
makes his
there
life
so
easier.
So many
yeah.
benefits to tubes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. For him. Yeah. I can have it when he's asleep and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there, but we're
no.
open to options.
Yeah.
And he's doing pretty well. His feeding specialist
yeah.
is pretty happy with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Great. And so did you join the, what do they call it, the Cerebral Palsy Alliance? Is that the place in
we were linked in with them, yes, yeah, CPA at the
yep.
start. It was right before the NDIS came in. I'm hoping things have
yeah.
changed a bit now because yeah. they were fine, but they said, oh, you know, we'll get you a physio, we'll get you an OT, we'll get, and nothing happened
not
for
really.
A couple of months.
Mm.
And I was like,
that's a long time.
It's. I remember at the time I was comparing it to, I think, Prince George had been born. Was that the first royal baby?
yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think George from Peppa Pig. And I was like, why did they name it after?
Anyway, I think he was born around the same time as Arlo. And I remember thinking, if this had happened to
yes.
Prince George, he'd have a freaking squad.
Yeah.
Like he'd be doing all the stuff. I'm like, why is Arlo not getting
yeah,
princely
that's right.
treatment?
yep.
And I was getting really impatient and my
yes.
auntie from Ireland, Auntie Fee, came over and she was a nurse and she was very subtle about it, but she was kind of playing with his feet and she's like, it might be good to know if we should, because he had pointed feet,
yeah.
yep.
you know, if we should be pushing them back, it might be good to know if we should be doing things. And she was like, maybe, you know, look at going privately. So
yeah.
we found this incredible physio center called Therapies for Kids
great.
That were in the suburb over from us. They've
Perfect.
Since moved 30 seconds up the road for
oh.
us, from us. So we're never leaving.
No, you have to stay there forever.
And they were good. Like, I remember even when I rang the reception desk, as soon as I said, oh, my son Arlo, they used his name
yes.
in the conversation. And I was
yeah.
like, just have a different feeling about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
this place. And we started seeing our incredible physio Sarah and the second we had Arlo in her hands, like things just got better. I mean, you know, the progress was very slow with Ali, but it was just her attitude, you know, because we were like, he has to be sitting by two. He has to be sitting, you know, you get told these things, if they're not sitting by two, they won't walk. And she's like, oh, it's not necessarily true. And, you know, he's not sitting now, but he will sit. He's still not at 3.5 quite sitting. We're working on it still. But I needed to hear that at that point. Like I needed some hope. And she just loved him. You know, she really focused on his strengths, you know, like how much he loves books and music and iPad now. And she would ask me how I was doing. Like she really, she still does. Like she can tell when it's like, you need a hug today.
What a beautiful physio.
And that just made, and she's gorgeous and she's made such a difference. And it was an, it's an open gym, and it was the first time, because I didn't actively put myself in support group. Like, you guys were great. I was like, I don't want to go to support groups. I know other parents were like straight in there to the chat room.
We didn't. We didn't really. We were online.
I wasn't. Yeah, it was online.
Was online because I didn't want to go anywhere. So,
that was just like my worst nightmare. I was like, I don't want to hang around parents raising kids with disabilities because that's not me, surely.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I was different. I was yearning for that. I was like, I wanted twins with disabilities. They were my people I wanted to find.
And
I was going to find them.
I wish I'd been more like that, because it took me a while to figure out talking with other parents is the best thing ever. But at the start, it was the last thing I wanted to do. But this forced me into a space where there were other families, and, man, that just being able to see, I'm not the only one doing this, and kids of, you know, various levels of severity, and, you know, other parents looking tired and clearly struggling. I was like, like these are my people. And that's when I first started chatting, you know, sitting in the waiting rooms, so much time in waiting rooms,
strike up
conversation. And that's where I first started making my special needs parent friends. And then, everything just started getting better. But Arlo, now he still sees Sarah. We've got an incredible OT, Prue, who comes to our house.
Amazing. Home visit.
Yes, and we've got three speech therapists. And, you know, he's got a squad. They're his A-team. And once we put them around him, like, things got better, and, you know, we could really focus more on ourselves and wallowing a bit and, like, kind of processing the grief.
They can tell you what to do.
Wow. So that's a little bit of a long answer.
Did I even stop for breath? I can't even remember what the question was.
So this is why you're perfect for this podcast.
No, we have no time restrictions.
We have no time restrictions.
You're all day.
So many messages from people. Don't make it shorter. Really? Please don't make it shorter. All the time.
No, well, I don't want to go home.
No. I come down in the morning. She's still here. I'm like, didn't you leave?
Move in down here.
I reckon.
It's comfy.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, dear.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When in this process did you really realize that the book was going to happen? Like,
yeah, well, it was pretend at the start. So, you know, back kind of early on, around the time when Arlo was about to turn one, I think I was like not ready to talk to other parents, but I wanted answers. I wanted to know how parents felt better at the start of this because I was like, I feel rubbish. I just need something. I need quotes. Yes. I need books. Yes. I need
because you're a journalist. You're a writer.
Yeah.
Words are important.
Yeah. I was like, I just need something to cling to feel better even for just 30 seconds of the day.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know that this wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I wanted to know that my son would be okay. I wanted to know that I would be okay. I wanted to know that we would be happy. Mm. Yeah. I was like, the only place I can get that information from is parents.
Yep.
So why don't I just say I'm writing a book?
Yep.
So I can interview them in a very like one-sided style and not have to share what I'm going through.
So you didn't tell them?
No, I told them. I was like, yeah, this has happened to me, but I'm writing a book. And I just thought with that approach, you know, I can really just get them to talk and extract the information I want from them and just like scurry away.
Yep.
Which didn't happen.
Like, of course.
Very deluded.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the first phone conversation, like, yeah, I just felt like I was talking to an old friend straight away and hung up the phone and was like, fuck, I feel so much better than I had in months. So I was like, there's something to this.
Yes, there really is.
Yeah, so I started doing interviews when Arlo was about one and then, you know, I still wasn't really sure if it was going to be a book, but then common things kept coming up.
Mm.
You know, people, you know, it was parents all over the world with kids with all kinds of disabilities. Yeah. Like I wasn't fussy.
Yeah.
But they were saying they'd gone through a similar emotional journey.
Yeah.
I hate that word, but
but it's true.
It's
a process.
And they had similar coping strategies. You know, there was a lot of staying in the moment, not thinking about the future. There was a lot of taking breaks whenever you can.
Yep.
A lot of people had gone to therapy, which I do, which has just been the best thing ever. So people were kind of coming up with similar things, and I was like, yeah, there's something here. And those topics, you know, grief, self-doubt, comparison, why me, all sort of became the sections of the book.
Oh, I'd just love all the sections.
I love it. And it's because you can just pick one out.
Well, that's the point. I'm like, you don't just need to sit down and read the whole thing. Like, you can go to wherever you need
to. I did. I thought maybe we could read out some of the chapters.
Yeah, because I was like, self-care, don't need it.
I mean, of course we all need it, but like,
you know, I really have thought a lot about that in the last two or three years.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go to something else that I feel like is really –
so
you know,
part one is, you know, the end of the world. Why me? Great expectations, a message from the future. Pride and prejudice, how do I tell people? I just was like, telling people twice. It was really something. You know, but I was better at it the second time. But it's just no easy way.
Of course.
Perfect, curb your perfectionism and happiness, mindfulness. Part two, fear. Grief, loneliness, guilt, and doubt.
Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
No,
there's good stuff in there too.
Pregnancy and birth, children, parenthood. Will I ever work again? The secret society. I hope that's really good.
Yeah.
Part four, the self-medication, support, self-care, therapy, play. Part five, relationships, partners, siblings, should I have another baby, parents, friends. And part six, the lingo, find your people, be social, advocacy. Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, I couldn't put it down.
No, it was really good. And it's like even when I just read the cover, I cried.
I was like,
I know, because it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
and then when you thank the lady who designed it,
well, you know what we're usually presented with in the disability space as parents. It looks like a unicorn shat on it.
Yes.
It's rainbow colored. It's got like children's handwriting scrawled on it. It looks like it's for kids.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's so patronizing.
Or it's old.
Or it's bottle green. That's what we joke about in the special schools. It's disabled green. And I'm like, yes, because it's bottle green. And it's just like, we just don't want them in bottle green. Like, but now I know that that's a color that hides a lot of fluids.
Oh, it's practical.
It's practical, right? But I've got a thing with disabled bottle green.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was so fussy with how this book
really
was going to look.
And
luckily,
it's beautiful.
Ventura, my publisher, they're small. They put up with all my complete control freakishness over this.
Yeah.
And I went in there with a mood board, like with a color palette and everything.
I love
like,
that.
This has to look a certain way because I want it to be beautiful and I want it to enrich parents' lives just like their child will. They don't know that yet.
Yes.
But, you know, they need something easy on the eye and that doesn't look like everything else we're presented with as parents.
Oh, you did a great job.
Yeah,
that
you
was
did
worth
Tam did
all
a great
that.
Job.
Yes.
She's a good designer.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, it was worth it.
Yeah.
That's the same with us. We wanted our logo to be fun and, you know, show a little bit of our personality. That stuff makes a difference.
I know, because unusual thing was when we first made it and people would message me and go, you're being funny. like that was not allowed.
Yeah,
people thought disability special needs world.
Yeah, people thought it was going to be.
Oh, well, we don't know how to not be that. Yeah. Like, we're not. This isn't a persona. This is just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually really, really funny, a lot of things that happen in our lives. So,
yes. Yeah. It makes this topic so much more accessible.
That's right.
Use humour.
Yeah.
People feel they can join in and talk about it.
Which you do in the book as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I hope I tried to be funny.
Oh, you totally.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. And there's some swear words in there.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yes. Yeah. Fluent French.
Yes. It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would definitely recommend it and give it away. Like, it's a book, you have this.
Oh.
And obviously, people will read it when they're ready.
Yeah.
But it's still better than
But you know, because I was anti giving books to people, but actually, this one I would wrap beautifully and say, this is for your heart.
Oh, yeah.
I really would.
Yeah, it's
because
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wished I had it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're writing a bit late.
But no, because I couldn't put it down. And I was just saying to Melanie before I think we turned the microphones on, I just have never read a book with so many families with children with cerebral palsy in it.
Yeah.
Rammed a lot of voices in there.
You really did.
Maybe
and there's
too
some
many,
that I know. Some people I follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like Tara and Willow and Natalie and Kiara. Mm. And also my friend is auntie of Ben Roach.
Oh, no
so
way.
She, yeah, because I think that he grew up around here.
Yeah.
And she was like, you need to meet my sister-in-law. And, yeah, I never got there, but I was like, oh, I know that. And the book Far From the Tree, I love that book.
Yeah.
But a bit hard going. So tell us what you said to me before about.
When I pitched Special, I said this is the handbag-friendly version of Far From the Tree.
Yeah,
that
perfect.
Is a big. I think every parent should read that book.
Yeah.
Well, at least I didn't read all of it.
Yeah.
But it's massive. Like, I went to borrow it from the library not realizing, like, it was a brick and I had to, like, lug it home with me.
Yeah,
that's an awesome book.
So this similar things. He went and interviewed people, didn't he? Living far from the norm.
Yes, like not all kids with disabilities, but just something had gone not the expected way. Far from the tree.
So
this is similar in that, it talks to lots of different parents. This is not a memoir.
No.
It's not media outlets. Yeah. Like, it's Alu's memoir. Alu's 3.5.
No.
This is not Alu's story.
No.
This is not my story.
Yeah.
This is me reaching out to 50 plus parents and experts and saying, help me.
Yeah.
I feel crap.
Yeah.
How do I not feel crap?
Yeah.
Tell me that this isn't what I think it is. And they've all delivered the goods.
They really have.
They really have.
There's a really great quote, I think. Well, I loved it. And it's by Stuart Duncan, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, we have spent entirely too much time forcing children to conform to our world. We would do well to join them in theirs more often.
Yes,
and I was just like, oh, that's everything I want to say, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so true.
Yeah.
And we just constantly, when you have a child that's not neurotypical or within the norms, you're constantly forcing them to actually be someone they're not so that people around you will accept them.
Yeah.
What a pressure to put on us and them. And
oh, I'm sure I've done that.
Oh, well, we have. I know I have. And, you know, I'll be like, can you be for 5 minutes?
Just
be 5 minutes. Just be normal.
Yes. Wiping dribble off mouths.
Yeah, come on. We're gonna get in here. We're gonna take a photo with all the aunties. I promise no one will touch you. And then we will leave. You know, and they, what a thing to say to them.
Yeah.
You know, if you said to me, you can come, but you have to wear this, you have to look like this, you have to, I'd be like, no, fuck off.
That's what we do all the time.
So that really spoke to me. I was like,
Certainly at the start, you try and fix your kid.
Yes.
Like I
when you're talking about that with the walking, the broken child
syndrome.
Yeah.
And I think that's normal at the start, you know, to see your kid as maybe a broken version of who they should have been or of typically developing children. I think, you know, don't beat yourself up about that. I think that's a perfectly natural reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it helps if you shift your thinking into, no, they are them. They don't need to be fixed.
No.
Yes, we'll go to all the therapies. We'll support them as much as we can to help them reach their potential. But they come as they are. Like I say in the book, it's we need to get with the program.
Yeah.
Really.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hard thing, but once you get it, you're like, oh, it's like
it's a relief.
Oh, yeah.
Huge
weight.
I felt like that when I moved her to the special school. I was like, I've arrived.
Yeah.
Right? Like in my mind, nothing could have been more worse than that.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah. Yep.
And actually she was with her people.
Yeah, and she's happy.
And she's happy.
Yeah.
And she went out yesterday with her friend, her true friend, and they walked around Kmart together. Yeah. And I just looked at them and thought, oh, look at those two friends. Yeah, yeah. You know?
And that's all you want for all your kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to have friends. Yeah. Just to have that social, have a kick and rage in social life. Yeah. That's what you want.
Best
that's
as it was, it came up. I said to her this morning, is there something I could have done better for you to have an even better time with your friend? And she said, more lollies. I already came back with these bags. I said, no, is there something different? Like, honestly, so funny.
No.
Oh, dear.
And I think, I don't know, we've Mandy and I speak about this
all the time.
But we just put so much of our own, what we think success is, onto our children. Mm. But none of us should do that.
Oh, like that's, no.
But we all do it. Yeah. And then I think when you get confronted with something that you didn't think you were going to get confronted with, you have to look at every aspect of how you parent.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your other children too. Like you're like, oh, this isn't, it's not for me to tell you.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard. Like I feel like it's a real cop out blaming society, but I do feel that we're conditioned, you know, to think that there is a certain way to be in this world that equals success and happiness.
Yep.
But yeah, Ali's just opened my eyes. And, you know, I think about it. I know plenty of able bodied, miserable people.
Yes.
Like, you don't need to be able to walk and talk to be happy. Like, Ali's so happy.
Yes.
Like, he's such a happy kid. We just got to make sure we keep him happy, you know, however that looks. And I think one of the best things we've done is put him in just a normal daycare up the road from us.
Yeah.
And they've been awesome. Like they've got all this equipment. Apparently there's a magical library where you can get equipment that they just went and sourced it from. So that he's got his chair there and his standard there, and all his therapists have gone in and taught everyone what, you know, he needs. They feed him, they give him his meds.
Great.
And he just loves it. He's got 20 little friends. Yep. And the kids don't see they're not sad about it.
No.
They love
him. They all love him. We've been going to birthday parties and even the parents, it's been really cool to see like their perspectives changing. And it's funny because, you know, typical 3.5-year-olds are talking, so the parents know all about us and Arlo and stuff because their kids go home and talk about us, whereas it's really awkward. They come up and like, I have no idea what your name is. Arlo can't tell me, but thanks. And whenever we've been in hospital and we've missed a week or so, we'll come back and his pigeonhole will just be stuffed with like presents and letters, you know, from the kids, but really from the parents who've gone to all this effort and said, we missed you, you know, we hope you're feeling better soon. Like, he's so loved there. And, you know, we're not sure what way we'll go with schooling yet, but maybe he'll be able to follow his friends, you know, into school. And
that can change. So,
yeah,
whatever decision you make, that can be changed if it needs to.
I'm avoiding that decision for one more year.
That's fine.
Avoid
it. When he's more out, I'll look into it.
Totally.
Who knows?
Yeah, but that's right. No. But I think that was good for me when someone said, well, it can change if it needs to. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just, thought, oh, it has to be one way. It doesn't.
Once we've chosen it,
And
I went to a school readiness seminar or something the other day, and we were told, no matter what you want, the schools have to do it. I didn't realize that, but as the parent, like you make the decision and the school needs to accommodate, and I'm sure there's challenges with that.
Yeah.
But I thought, oh, that's really empowering.
It gives some power.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's next year's problem.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to know about it right now.
No.
And that's how I feel about ending school or, you know, I'm just like, I can't look at that yet.
No.
So that's how we cope.
That's right. And you just, as those things come closer, you start to gather little bits of information and find different people around you. And I don't have to do that yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And drip feed it in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how did you think about having Odette?
Yeah.
Oh, Matt. So it was a hard decision, but it's one that we had to make quickly because when they got Arlo out in the emergency cesarean, apparently it's just normal. They check your ovaries while they're in there, and they found a cyst on one of my ovaries that turned out to be precancerous.
Oh, my God.
So 6 weeks after we had Arlo, I had to go back in, and they took that ovary and fallopian tube out. And they need to take the other one out. So my gynecologist was like, you need to complete your family as soon as possible. And we were like, you've got to be kidding me. So we had her way quicker than we – like she was born just a month before Arlo turned 2.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was a really hard decision. We were really freaked out. But Ro and I both have a sib that we're really close to. And we thought we'd like to be able to give Arlo that.
Yes.
If we can, let's just see what happens again. Got pregnant straight away again.
Yep.
And we were so lucky. And I mean, logically, like what happened with Arlo, it was random. They couldn't see why it happened. There was nothing wrong with my placenta. They tested everything. So there was no like logical, rational reason to be worried. But of course, once you realize it doesn't always go by the book, the universe doesn't keep score. You know, everyone was like, oh, it won't happen again. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, exactly. And you realize that then. So we were freaked out and we got, you know, we didn't need special treatment, but we got it. But it was good, but it was bad because we had so many scans. And every single one of those, there was always, you know, a chance for something to go wrong. Yes. And they thought stuff was wrong. At one point, they thought her head was growing too fast for her body. At another point, they thought she had a hole in her heart. It was absolutely.
How did you cope with that?
Shit. It was really hard time. I was not a happy pregnant person. And I remember
Sucks.
It does.
Yeah. So has that dream gone too?
And it's just hard going to therapy as a pregnant person. Yeah. Like, you know, luckily my brother helped out a bit and things, but it was tough slog. But I was just so sure that something was going to go wrong. Yep. I remember at one point forcing myself to go and buy a little pink onesie to try and convince myself that there would be a little pink baby to go in this onesie at the end of it. Yeah, we had a planned cesarean 2 weeks before she was due and it all went fine. Sort of. We got that moment. They put her on my chest and then all the nurses
around. So you're awake?
Knew I was awake. Yep. They foraged around. We were there. And the nurses were like, we're so sorry. You're the last couple we wanted to do this to, but she just needs to go into NICU like just to check the breathing. And we were like, oh God. But it was fine. She was in there for like a few hours. Okay. So it was all good.
Okay.
And Odette is so far medically boring. Yeah. There was no hole in the heart. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
She has no appointment. I keep forgetting when her birthday is because I don't have to write her birth date on so many forms.
That explains it because I have a tricky time with that because I say the same one for the twins and then every now and then I get stumped on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're not writing it every day on the bloody doctor's form. Yeah.
Oh, form after form. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah, but she's and it's been so interesting watching the typical path and I was really worried I was going to be sad like about her, you know, when she overtook him pretty early on with the milestones, but it's just been interesting. I just see them as different paths. There's definitely moments like when she first crawled up the stairs, I cried and I just ran and hugged Arlo and it was just, I couldn't really explain it, but I just felt sad that he wouldn't
do that. He has to watch that too.
Yeah. Not that he seems bothered.
Yeah. Well, that's a small message.
He loves his sister, but they're so cute together. But it's mostly just been interesting and we don't take anything she does for granted.
No.
And it's funny how we've been, how Arlo's made us really weird parents. Like, I remember the first time I walked into Odie was in our room for ages and I walked in and she was standing up in her cot for the first time and I screamed, like slammed the door, ran out of the room because I'm not used to seeing babies standing up in cots.
It was like Chucky.
It was Chucky. Exactly.
I was scared of that dog.
Like my brain is used to babies lying down in cots and not getting up and it was like this horror reaction.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so things like that, you catch yourself and you're like, whoa, I've been made a really weird parent from this experience with Arlo. And, you know, we're probably delaying her in ways because the way we handle her, you know, we carry her all the time. Yeah. Well, we don't actually, she's walking now, we don't need to carry, but we're just used to carrying babies. So the poor kid, who knows how we're delaying her. She'll be fine.
Oh,
wow.
I just remember thinking I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her and
that it's come easy.
And there's all that funny sort of thoughts running through your head all the time.
And you realize it's just luck.
That's all it is.
Everything's just luck. You get a high IQ, you get a low IQ, you get cerebral palsy, you get something else. Oh, that's just bad luck and good luck. And you don't do anything. Like, we didn't do anything to create any of this.
Well, that's what Shane said to me when we had the second diagnosis. He said it's just incredibly bad luck. And I was like, oh. But, you know, that's
It's not
truth.
Really comforting, but in a way it is.
But in
a,
Yeah, because it was like you didn't do anything wrong.
That's just an option. Even, you know, outside of luck. Having a disability is an option. It's not presented to us as an option when you're pregnant.
No.
But like one in five Australians nearly have a disability. This is an outcome that happens sometimes.
Yes.
And I think if we talked more about that when people were pregnant, maybe it wouldn't be so terrifying and maybe society wouldn't see disability as something to be feared and pitied.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely times, when it's really bloody hard. But it's a way of being. It's a life.
What this taught me, and now I say it to all my kids, hard isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
Like it's – and there are still amazing moments of joy during hard you know, I don't know. It's just hard.
Yeah.
I think better moments of joy than what we would have got. You get both extremes.
Yeah, yeah, really do.
We used to say twins are the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's not really much in between, you know. We used to say it to each other all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, because when it's good, it's bloody gorgeous. You know, they're in the pram and they'd hold each other's hand and then they'd pull each other's hair.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, some silly things like that.
Yeah.
Or when it's really bad and they're both in hospital with gastro and Darren was at home with gastro and I was nearly about to vomit.
Yep.
Okay. That was terrible. Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
People were catching poo samples, family members, Auntie Lazy. You know, stuff like that.
I don't know how you guys did this times two. Mm. Like, I take my hat off to you and you must just be sitting here looking at me going, she has no fucking idea.
No, absolutely not.
We don't. Like, we're not like that at all.
But like, for me, first child, you know, we really didn't have an easy ride, but I can't even imagine what this is like times two or with existing children.
Well, I think it's down the track too.
And we are down the track. Yeah. And, you know, my boys, it's more developmental. So we didn't have milestones either, but they definitely crawled and walked.
Yeah.
So I wasn't lugging two babies and putting them in AFOs and wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So that's easier. That's the truth. Yeah. So, you know, they have caused a lot of havoc.
I read something in here that made me think about it. I remember people would say, I would say, I would change this for them. You know, people say, because I'd hear people say, I wouldn't change them. And I'd be like, you've got to be joking. Yeah. Of course you'd change them. And I was like, so what is my line going to be? Okay, so my line is I would change it for them.
Yes.
But I actually wouldn't change what I've learnt.
Yeah.
No.
So that is how I feel. Of course, if I could wave a magic wand over them both and change their lives, I would.
Yeah. Mm. But then would their personalities change?
That's
the thing. You're like, oh.
But I suppose I've seen body suffering and I just think.
Of course you take that away.
Yeah,
we
take that away. Anyone you love. You don't want to see them suffer.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah,
that's really hard. And I think that I don't even ever go there. I don't ever want to think about that.
Don't you?
No. I'm really.
I don't know why. I think I'm going to get a wand. I'm not.
I just think
madness.
The pediatrician said that to me, Shane. I don't know, when they're about three or four, and I must have just been really frazzled. And he goes, I just want to put this out there. You know, I don't have a magic wand.
Oh, yeah.
I must have, he was like, okay, that's
okay,
right.
There isn't one.
I just think, how can you say, like, if you said to me, oh, I could wave a magic wand and you'd be thin and beautiful, I'd be like, oh. Okay, is that what you actually would prefer?
Yeah,
me to be?
Of course. Well,
and
that's
so
true.
I would find that extremely offensive.
Okay,
you know, I may have things about myself that I think, I could do that better.
Yeah,
but I could never say that.
Yeah,
that I can't. Yeah, that's for me. But we're all different, and that's what's so great about this. We all feel differently about things. Yeah,
I was talking to my therapist about that. You know, because once we had Odie, I would have thoughts like, you know, man, this is so much easier with her. Like, imagine if we just had. And I felt like shit for thinking that way. But she was like, who doesn't think, what if my life was different?
Everybody.
Everyone's thinking
everybody.
That.
Every day. Yeah.
Every time there's a $100 million Powerball. Half of Australia's thinking, what if I won?
Exactly. Everyone's wearing blue. I'm like, what the hell's going on today? I'm oblivious to it. And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
$150 million. Not going to win it.
No.
But people dream.
I know.
They've spent that $150 million.
Every time.
So we all do what if, of course. Yes. Yep. Very, very true.
Yeah. Yep.
So and you're not a fan of looking into the future, are you?
I really try not to.
Yeah.
And because we've put that team of experts around Arlo, I don't have to.
No, like, that's right.
I trust them to guide us. And I've just learnt that I don't know what's going to happen. This has taught me that things happen that you weren't planning.
Yeah.
And also I don't know how I'm going to feel about those things when they do happen. Yeah. I thought this was the worst nightmare, worse than death experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I have a 3.5-year-old who doesn't walk and talk, and I'm happy. Yeah. And yes. He's happy.
Yeah.
So you just don't know how you're going to feel about these things anyway.
No, no. You don't. That's right. Mm. Yeah, I actually 100% agree.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know that for a lot of people, I think in the moment of diagnosis, everyone goes to the future.
Yeah.
And then you just brought back to the now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is that Eckhart Tolle book, The Power of Now, that we don't, that we don't love. But it is true.
Oh, we love that. Now. We just didn't like he sat on a bench for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like we can't relate. No sitting around.
So before we finish, though, we have to ask you, did you win any awards at school?
Oh,
I bet you did.
I was a little bit of a nerd.
Write such a beautiful book.
Yeah.
I loved writing. I won in year four, I won a poetry award for a poem I wrote about my family of four. But it was a little bit awkward because I wrote a line about my dad. You know, my brother was a bouncing sun and my mother was a singing bird. Dad was a faint pencil line that could be easily rubbed out. Change to a pen mark that could never be rubbed out. But my dad was just a beautiful, kind, you know, sweet man. Yeah. But it was horrible.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I won an award for my amended poem.
Amended.
With the pen mark for dad.
That is priceless. That's a great award.
That is a good award.
What did your dad think? Did he see it or did she?
Oh, I'm sure
he
was really offended. Oh, no, he saw it. There were probably discussions behind closed doors.
Probably.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
But it's interesting you guys talking about awards because I was like, oh, man, I've got that. You know, hopefully I've got a few years before I have to worry about Alu not getting awards and things. But this morning Rowan texts me. He's just dropped the kids at daycare and he's like, Odie got an award for meeting her motor milestones.
Oh.
It's called like a grow fit. And I was like, ableism. I can't believe I'm dealing with this shit already. They're just in daycare.
Oh, gosh.
And she get and like Arlo didn't get a certificate from
no.
And we love our daycare
of course,
I know.
Course.
But I was like,
you can say that here.
It's happening already.
It's happening already.
Yeah.
What the hell?
But I can't. I would. There's rarely a day that goes by that we don't get a message about we have to change awards. Awards have to be changed. We have to be the voice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think yes.
Yep.
So any teachers that are listening, it's coming. A tsunami is coming.
Assembly will be cut in half.
Yeah.
You'll be thanking us. You won't have to write things anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. To award someone for something that they – it's just something that they did that morning is ridiculous when someone else struggles.
Yeah.
It just – anyway, you know, we've got a whole episode on it. Go back and listen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Jeepers.
Anyway, and the other question that we ask, which
– is from Molly's special score, remember, way back, was from the newsletter that the children write themselves. And one of the kids asked the teacher – the first question, were you born crazy or how did you get crazy? So we just asked that because it made us laugh so much.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I've always been crazy.
Have you?
If you read my teenage diaries, you'll see like my, if anything, I think this experience has maybe made me less crazy.
Okay.
Less like in my own head.
Yeah.
Obsessing over petty shit. Like
yes.
I think this has been a very grounding experience for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to be a bit crazy. I'm
you
not
do.
Too boring.
Yeah, well, yeah, you are boring.
In the teenage years, they're, they're meant to be.
Couldn't
full
pay
of angst.
You to go back.
No. Oh, no, me either.
And watching the girls go through it,
No.
Just hurry up and get to 18, please. I've just got years to go. Oh, dear me.
That's funny. So we don't this week we haven't got as much feedback.
No.
Because we're recording this the day after our last episode went out.
So, one day.
Yeah, which is good because actually it's Mandy's birthday on Monday and she doesn't have to come here and record.
Thank you.
So but I wanted to say that there's been a lot of feedback for Sally. People are just amazed at her honesty.
Yeah.
Her raw honesty.
Yeah.
And we really loved having you in, Sally. And in our little two-piece hangout, people give feedback that we would never read in here.
No, we've told them that we won't read that.
Yeah, we wouldn't.
That's a bit of a sacred space.
Yeah, so there's feedback in there. So all you peas that are in there have seen it anyway. You don't need to hear it again.
Yeah.
But my scholarship said that Sally sat with her daughter that's scholarship's age and they just listened to the whole thing through.
Oh, together.
Yeah.
Oh, so that makes me want to cry.
I know. And she said it was really beautiful. Oh. So. Yeah, and then I sent her the Sally song by Fundamentals and she listened to that as well.
She messaged me too and said, thank you, and she loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really amazing, actually, that episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were lucky to have her in. We've got one feedback that I really, really have to read. And it's from this, I won't say his name, but he's a fireman.
Oh, yes. This made me cry and came up.
He sends this email. He's like, good morning, ladies. Never underestimate your audience. Like many, I have binged all episodes since hearing of the pod via Chats 10 Looks 3. Thank you, Annabelle. I just wanted to say that you guys should keep up the good work, but never underestimate your audience.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
Yeah. I am not your target listener, being a 43-year-old fireman, father of three, married with great kids that are shuffling through schools with differing degrees of success. But listening to your podcast, I've laughed and cried with the best of us here in the outer rectum. That's never going
it's
away.
Just become, it's become its own thing.
Yeah. Your stories and honesty can touch me in the most unexpected ways and times, and whilst listening to last week's episode was caught by the missus with a tear in my eye, giant lump in my throat. When pressed on what I was listening to, I had to say I was laughing at one of my usual football pods rather than to admit the quality pod I was actually consuming 2 to 3 episodes per day.
Fireman, we love you.
We love you, Fireman. Your conversations have made me reflect on many facets of my own life struggles and the seemingly insignificant problems my three cherubs face at school. Much of your advice is priceless, keeping it real.
Oh, wow.
So, and I said, the problems your three cherubs face at school aren't insignificant.
No.
Because the school system is broken.
Yeah,
so,
for everyone.
It is for everyone. So, yeah, anyway, that was beautiful. And, yeah, you made us both cry.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. I'm just going to read one that was on the podcast app. Mandy and Kate, as a stay-at-home mum, your warm, bubbly, insightful podcast made me feel like we were all gas-bagging and laughing together. Whilst my kids do not have special needs, I am sadly a mum with cancer, and so much of what you say really resonates with me. The well-meaning comments from ignorant friends that sting, the grief that can overwhelm me at any moment, an uncertain future all played out whilst getting up every day, getting the kids off to school and keeping my little family afloat.
I know, and took the time to write.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that is a different story again.
Yeah, and this is the other one that I'm going to read. Hi, Kate and Mandy. I just want to say thank you for your podcast. I'm a mum of a beautiful 3-year-old boy. I won't say his name. He was diagnosed with a severe global developmental delay about a month ago.
Oh.
She needs your book.
Yeah.
While it was the diagnosis my husband was expecting, it was nonetheless so heartbreaking. Anyway, I just wanted to share a beautiful moment that I had today listening to your podcast. I'm visiting some family on the coast. My mum said she'd look after the kids so I could sit by the water and do some whale watching. Mm. So I listened to your podcast sitting by the water, and you two were talking about how lonely it is when you first receive a diagnosis for your child, how desperate you can be to hear from someone that is further down the track than you, how important it is to find your tribe. It was like you were directly talking to me.
Oh.
So I sat there and cried, as I was crying, I'll try not to cry now, I saw a couple of whales swimming by. Then one of you said something that was funny and I laughed. It was also beautifully poetic and poignant that I thought it was like being scripted from a movie. I'm really lucky to have amazing friends and family who are so supportive, but I guess you don't really understand what it's like to have a child with special needs unless you've experienced it.
Yeah.
You beautiful ladies have made me feel like my thoughts and emotions are understood, which is so comforting to a person who's just starting to navigate this road.
Mm.
So thank you. Your podcast has helped me in so many ways. And this is for you, Mandy. P.S. As an Aboriginal woman, I love your Welcome to Country, even if you stumble over the name.
Oh, that makes my day. Oh, that's for you.
I said, we got there in the end.
I got there in the end. Oh, well-meaning. Terrible. Terrible pronunciation.
Another person wrote us a beautiful big message, which I haven't read out, but she said, P.S., I think your merch should just say, I cried, 2 P's in a podcast.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, well, people are so encouraging.
Oh.
What about your feedback from the book? How have
it's
you
been
felt?
Awesome. Well, even just at the launch we were at the other night, there was a couple who'd driven all the way from Torquay.
Oh.
And, yeah, they were just so, like, she's like, you just got it. You got my first 2 years. Like, they had an older child. And her husband had also read it. And he said, it's the first book I've read in 15 years. He's like, I love it. Love the swearing.
See?
Yeah, well, keeping it real.
It is accessible.
It is accessible. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really
congratulations.
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks
we'll
for
be telling
here.
Everyone. But thank
we
you.
Will.
Thank you. Thanks
we
for
will.
Making the effort.
Thanks for having me in the pod bar.
We'll keep one awesome, in the pod bar.
Right? Yeah, we're going to keep one. We'll give one away and we'll keep one. Yeah. Yeah,
awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, Mandy, did anything make you cry this week?
The end of the old people's home for 4-year-olds. Oh.
That's a different crying, isn't
it? Oh, sorry. I sobbed my heart out.
I know. That show, it's just next level.
Have you seen it? No. Oh, Melanie. Oh,
you only do it when you really want to have a cry.
Yeah.
What is the TV show?
So it's on ABC. Annabelle's the narrator.
Is there five episodes?
I think there's four.
Four.
So they did a research thing in putting, 10 four-year-olds into a retirement village and trying to see if they could improve the adults living in the retirement village, their mobility and their, like, their depression. Oh, it's just amazing.
And these children, I don't know whether they handpicked them, but they're amazing.
Amazing.
I feel like my four-year-olds,
I would just think, imagine. So I just can't imagine what Millie would have been like. She would have been like, what are you talking about? Get up.
Yeah.
But watch it when you can.
I will.
I think about an hour each. So they're on IV. They're on, you know.
Yeah, they're on IV.
They're
on
Annabelle, so she's hosting. I'll be all over it.
She's narrating it.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it's I just cried and cried.
Yep.
So, yeah, and my girls have all watched it as well. So it's you're like, anyone can watch it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So that was just uncontrollable sobbing. I didn't care, though. I just kind of let it out. I was like, yeah.
Oh, you can't
do that.
There's no other way.
That's right.
It was funny because I was going to watch it with my number one daughter and her boyfriend was over and I was like, do you want to watch it? She's like, no, not now. I'm like, no, because we've bonded over this whole thing. We can't just let some other person be in on the last episode.
Yeah, what if he doesn't like it?
Yeah, we have to cry.
Yeah, you have to cry together.
She's like, I've got
to
be ready. And I was like, yeah.
What about you? What did you cry about, Kate?
So I cried yesterday. I cry when I get all your beautiful messages.
Yeah.
And then I cried when I opened up my phone and I look at all the new messages that I get on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And there was one from Mia Friedman.
Legend.
I know she's written the
on the front of my book.
Yes. But I, of course,
we don't know it.
I don't know it. I mean, I feel like I know
it
because
we listened to
it for years.
Yeah.
And just this beautiful message, like, you are amazing. I'm on your team. Reach out anytime you need anything. Maybe you could come and talk with us. Like, I just didn't know what to. I was like, this is. Anyway, I still can't speak about it. It was just amazing. I'm screenshotting, sending to Mandy. So, yes, she made me cry. And she's beautiful. And she's going to send me her sister-in-law's book.
Ondine, who's
in
here?
Yes, he's in here. Yes. I was like,
she's got the twins.
Yes.
So I'll get onto that. She's like, I'm going to put it in the post.
Yeah,
so
great.
The Miracle of Love. Excellent book.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll
love
it.
To read that too.
So I'll read it and we'll give it a little book review. But so that just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, how did she even know to listen?
You guys are out there now. Everyone's finding you.
Really?
Yeah.
It just is just weird. Shell shocked by it.
Yeah.
What about what made you cry?
It's been a weird week because I'm like touring.
Yeah.
But just went hanging up the FaceTime after I've seen the kids. Yeah. I've cried, which is a good thing. I was worried I wasn't going to miss them as much as they have.
Yeah, you're having a physical break.
Proper missing them, like tears missing them.
Yes. Right.
Which is nice. It's nice to have the space to miss
them.
It
is.
I don't normally get that.
No.
So, been a few tears there.
Yeah. And the minute you walk back in the front door,
you'll be like, okay,
I missed them one bit. Yeah, I want to fly away again.
It's a good reminder to take some time out, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's forced when you're doing this, but it is a good reminder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And did anything make a difference?
Well,
in your life?
Think so it's going to go in hand with the laughing.
Yeah.
So the difference is our dog.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got Molly last year had a couple of surgeries at the Children's, and the second time I filled out a wish from the Starlight Foundation because they come into the room and they just make everything better in there.
Mm.
So the make a difference is the Starlight Foundation. So I just thought, oh, look, I don't know if she'll qualify.
Yeah.
I'll just put it in. And then January we got an email saying she's been granted a wish.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, wow. And then I was like, holiday.
Yep.
And she's like, a dog. I was like, okay. I've been very scared to get a dog because I just am scared about more work.
Yeah.
But I kept saying to myself, I believe that every family should have a dog.
Yes.
I just don't want the work.
Yeah.
But my core belief is that we should have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tell myself that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so around March, so we got to choose one. It came from a beautiful place, Cavoodles for Cuddles in New South Wales, and Bred for Children with Disabilities. So Starlight said, we're only getting it from there. And I was like, okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Came down on a plane Everything de-sexed.
Yeah, beautiful.
Here's some money to buy some toys. Here's some money to go to the first vet. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, she has changed our lives.
Yeah.
Just, you know, she's beautiful and she's mischievous and, yep, toilet rolls everywhere and, you know, pooing and weeing in the house. But it's been okay. And just the change in all of the children has been amazing. So yesterday morning, we take her out for a morning wee and Molly goes out with her and we have to go down these stairs to the – we've got a big backyard and I just hear this waterfall. And I was thinking, what is that? She is weeing. Molly – I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm doing a bush wee. I'm role modeling. The dog is up with me. I'm not even looking.
Role modeling.
Oh, it was so funny. I said, okay, come up and I'll just check everything's not wet. So it's been funny and fun and, yeah, so that's my laugh and my make a difference is that beautiful dog who we called Rosie Hose.
Rosie Hose.
We've got to get on to this because we need a dog.
Yes.
For sure.
It's life-changing.
And companion dogs are.
Yeah. Well, the Cavoodles are gorgeous. And and so that's who our groomer last week had Molly in for a couple of hours. So she spent 2 hours with dogs surrounding her. She just loves them.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and they're non-judgmental. All the stuff that dog owners know that I didn't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had one growing up, but I haven't had one as an adult.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did anything make you cry or make a difference in your life this week?
This is going to sound like an ad.
Or laugh.
But young Henry's, you may have had one of their drinks at the launch. So people don't realise it's quite expensive going around doing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yes. You know, my publisher's tiny. They've supported me as much as they can, but I've had to try and get like sponsors to help.
Yes.
And one of the mums in my book, Jo, is friends with this awesome guy called Russell, who's the marketing manager at Young Henry's.
Oh.
And he, like, she put something on her socials and he saw it and he was like, how can I help?
Oh.
So in Sydney, Perth and Melbourne, there has been a truckload of beer, cider and gin from Young Henry's for everyone. And they just gave us so much. Like everyone, we've been able to take them home and stuff. It's just so generous.
Yes.
It made such a big difference. So shout out to them because I don't have a big following. I can't tag them and make any difference to them.
Yes.
But they just did it without, you know, needing the acknowledgement.
Yes.
You're a legend, Russ. Yeah. And he's just had a baby as well, and he still made it happen.
Oh,
what a guy. Russell made a difference.
Yeah, good on you, Russell. Very, very good. So my difference and laugh came together as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I didn't work, had the day off, so I've had a super long weekend. And we have school holidays here in Victoria at the moment. And so I decided my mum's on holidays in Coffs Harbour. Her sister lives there. I decided I'd better go and have a look at her house. She's got 3 acres and she's got mail and bills that need to be paid and all that. So we went up and my grandmother is in care up there and has dementia.
Mm.
So I said, we're going to go and see her. Our P-Tribe member Bryony came with us and number one daughter had to drive because I still can't drive. And then one of the boys' friends at school I babysat him. So there was a whole bunch of us. Anyway, I forgot to tell this little friend that we were going to see my grandma.
Yeah.
And so we drive in and I'm like, oh, we're going to see my grandma. And he's reading the sign. He said, I've never been to an aged care facility.
Oh.
And I said, oh. Anyway, so we get out of the car and he's, you know, saying to the boys, what is this place? And Woody just goes to him, well, it's no treat. Like, you know, like I think he was sick trying to say to him, this not, we're not, it's not fun. It's
no,
not
our, like, we're not getting popcorn.
We're not getting popcorn.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was like, oh, okay. And then, but when we got in, it was such a treat because my grandma can be in a I'm not talking to anybody mood, but she just, these three children came in and she was beside herself and she just filled every silence by saying, hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. She must have said it like 20 times. Anyway, my kids don't know it, right?
No.
So they're looking at it. And then she would say it and I'd say to Woody, and he'd say, the dish ran away with the spoon. Like, she said it so many times that they actually remembered it. And then the whole nursing home was laughing and Bryony was laughing and she just had this joy.
Oh, yeah.
And she just kept saying to me, "And who are these boys?" I said, "They're your great-grandsons. Get out!" We just had moments and moments. But it was all joyous.
It was joy.
And we just, we laughed.
And you posted a beautiful photo of it.
She
on your
was
private
just laughing. Oh. Yeah, it was just amazing. So, and it really did make a difference, you know. And, yeah. I mean, she obviously won't remember that we went, you know. No. But we had this one moment of clarity, which was amazing, because she said to me, what have you been up to? Oh. And I said, I went to, and I used my mum's name, I said I went to Estelle's house. And she said, "Estelle, do you know Estelle?" Oh. And she said, she said it the same as I said. Yeah. I said, "That's my mum." And she said, "That's my daughter."
Oh.
And then she just grabbed me and I was like, "Yeah, I'm your granddaughter." Oh, like, you know. Oh. So, yeah, but it was actually beautiful.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't sad. It was really, really.
It was beautiful.
And the funniest thing was they had her watching Top Gun.
What?
I was just like, I was like, "What are you watching?" And she's like, "I really don't know."
Where's Gone with the Wind?
I know. Yeah. Where's Sound of Music? Oh,
or Top Gun.
Because
we've joked about that, Darren. He's like, "What are we going to be watching?"
Yes.
You know, are we going to be watching, you know, Rocky and Rambo and, you
yes.
know, like,
what? But Top Gun. And it's so loud and the, you know, the noise of all the planes. Anyway, that was my laugh and make a difference for the week.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Trekking out on the train.
Awesome. We're no journalists.
No, we're not.
So we're just
chatting it.
Like one of the PE tribes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Hope it was okay.
I feel very honoured to be a PE.
No, really, you are. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Rate and review us.
Rate and review.
Keep doing it. We love you.
Yeah.
And thank you. And we'll see you next week.
We will. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.